Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth. And now you see the light. You stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up.
We can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your right.
Lord, Lord.
Get up, stand up.
Keep us traveling on.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
We're sick and tired of your ism, schism, game. Dine and go to heaven in Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
we gonna
do?
Stand up for our
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You better
get up, stand up
in the morning.
Don't give it up.
Stand up for your right.
Stand up right now.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Right on, right on, right on. Right on radio.
Right on radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here live this Friday morning. Please get the shares out there. Let's get some more people in here. Linda, thank you, and God bless you this very day. Look, folks, I got a bit of a variety show for you today. I got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to come together, but I am praying that God will direct me in this way this morning. God has been so good. God bless you as well, Wendy, and Fearless. Yes. Yes. So good to see you. I'm so glad we reconnected, Fearless. Man, I'm really thankful for you. And what a beautiful family you have as well. Hey, I played that song for a reason. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Don't give up the fight. But please understand that this fight is not against the flesh. Yes, we have enemies in the flesh. And they're in great numbers. We are far outnumbered. But our God is bigger. And that is the big takeaway. There was a bit of a conversation on Telegram this week about fear. And, you know, it's been pointed out several times that fear is, do not fear, is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, which is one for every day. Plus, it even covers leap years because God knew we would change our calendar. And fear never comes from God. It never comes from God, other than the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Folks, there's so much going on right now, and there's a whole bunch of points that I want to make with you today. I'm also going to play some tape. So we're going to talk about some bad stuff that's going on in the world. We're going to talk about some grifters and some dangerous stuff and how we're being attacked from all sides. And I'm going to give you some hopium at the same time. And then I'm going to read something to you that I thought was just so spot on this morning by someone who has a bit of a gift for writing. And I believe it lines up with all the scriptures. And speaking of which, let me just start with today's scripture of the day from Bible Gateway. It comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And he, referring to Jesus, was saying to them all, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it." What does that mean? It doesn't mean to die in the flesh every day, although one day we might be called to that. It is to crucify your flesh, crucify what is important, what the world tells you is important, and follow what God says is important. Because at the end of the day, that's all that is going to matter. And I say that in advance of, look, this, I've covered dark to light ad nauseum on this show. Dark is the dark cabal. Oh, by the way, there's an announcement coming up later today. Here's a little teaser. The cabal has fallen. It's over, folks. Oh, wait till you hear that. Wait till you hear this report. Darkness is the cabal, the baby sacrificing, Baal worshiping, people who get instructions from demonic entities. And then you have the light, which is people who get instructions from demonic entities, but are not involved in that other stuff. They're going to crucify the church in many other ways, including the seven Noahide laws, which I'm confident will be put into place once we enter into the new world order and one world religion. And notice how I say once we enter into it, it's going to happen, folks. God tells us in his scriptures, essentially, that it's going to happen. So I believe God's word. And as I'm examining everything that is going on right now, everything points to the crown. Everything points to the crown and being orchestrated by the crown. You know, the crown, the financial institution, that's where the central banks lay. That's where the biggest power center of the world lays. It's not America, as you've been told. America is being controlled, and America has been used as a proxy, you know, in the Ukraine, in what's happening in the Middle East right now. And when we step back and we consider the things that are going on, and I'm not going to go through all the things that happened, you know, the Bolshevik Revolution that happened in Ukraine in 2014 and all this stuff, the takeover that was orchestrated by the West. And again, I'm going to say it all points towards the crown in control of this stuff. But, you know, we criticize Ukraine and we criticize certainly sending money there, your money, my money. But we cannot escape the fact, and we should never lose sight of the hundreds of thousands of people who have been wiped out there. hundreds of thousands, an entire generation, probably more than one generation, has been wiped out in Ukraine. And what we're seeing in the Middle East, doesn't even matter which side you're on. I believe it was the wisdom of God at the very beginning of the war, like the day it started, I was saying, don't take sides, pray for the innocent, because it's the innocent that always get killed. Now, if you don't get up and stand up, you are spiritually allowing all this stuff to happen in the world. And when I say get up and stand up, I'm not saying go out and stand outside with, you know, placards saying stop the war, because that stuff doesn't work. Signing petitions does not work. You know, there's a bunch of people, and I'm going to touch on the sovereign citizen thing today, and I'm going to give you some opinions on that if I get to it, actually, I should say. But that doesn't work either. And actually, let me just embellish on that for a moment. The people who are promoting the sovereign citizen thing and against maritime law, which the world is under the control of maritime law, that is easily provable. The people who are teaching this stuff and saying all this stuff out loud are correct. Here is the problem. The people with guns who enforce the laws and have authority to kill you and have authority to arrest you and have endless resources to prosecute you believe in the law. And I'm reminded of what my dear brother, who's now passed, he said, and he was talking about this as far as like a traffic law or riding motorcycles. He says, you know, you can be in the right of way, but you can also be dead right. So we must pick our battles. And if our battle is against princes and principalities of the air, we must battle in the spirit. For you to get up and stand up is for you to start getting together with people and actually praying and not going along with what is happening in the world. And I think it's time we really need to be much more specific in our prayers. You know, it's one thing to say, I'll just use an example, Lord, I pray for all the people who took the vax. Lord, I pray that, you know what, all the people is very general, and God's plan is much bigger than all this. God knows the specifics. And I believe God is calling us at this time to start praying specifically. So if you want to pray for someone who has taken the jab, or if you want to pray for someone who does not have salvation, I would not start by saying, Lord, I just pray for all those people in my family who, start pulling their names out. Do you really want to petition the Lord? Then don't be vague. Don't be vague. I think we're past that now. And so I'm actually saying this, you know, I didn't plan to say this, but I want to instruct our prayer team, which I know will be listening to this, that we need to get more specific in our prayers. And even if it accounts for a smaller percentage of the population, well, that's okay, because God is large and in charge. And, you know, if you pray for two people and God makes a significant impact in their lives, well, you know the old saying, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. Remember, God does not add or subtract. God multiplies and divides. Very interesting indeed. I'll be challenged on that. And by the way, I'm not gonna die on that hill, just for those of you who want to challenge me on it. But I see God multiplying and I see God dividing. Is he capable of adding and subtracting? Yes. All right. So don't come at me after that. And with prayer in mind, look, this season in particularly April, well, really it started at the summer solstice when we entered into spring in March, and it goes to May. This is the high witch season, folks. This is when the enemy, through his people, do some of their worst stuff. And why? Because they're planting for the harvest that they wish to reap in the fall. And in all the years of my life, I see that this year is probably the most important to start coming out against this stuff in prayer and in fellowship, because this is a team sport. In prayer and in fellowship, when two or more are gathered. Thank you, Wendy. Now, having said that, I just will announce we do have our prayer meeting. It's open to the public. You don't have to pray out loud. You won't be called on unless you raise your hand, but you can pray along with us. And you can even say your own prayers silently to God or out loud. We won't hear you unless your mic is on. It's Saturday night at 8 p.m. But also, I do want to invite you on April 17th, which is next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and it is only on Telegram, on the main channel, right on radio. We will be doing a special edition of our prayer call where we will have teaching at the beginning. And why are we going to teach? Because this is time when we need to go to battle. Are you going to get up and stand up? Are you going to get into the fight? Or are you just going to lay down and call it a day? So there will be a special teaching and then on how to pray, and then we will go into our prayer meeting. Dark to light is very real right now. And the dark side, and if you've read, and I've shared this on the show, I've read from Albert Pike, how the three world wars are planned, how all of this stuff is planned. And right now we are on the brink of World War III, and World War III is nuclear, folks. Oh, it's at 7:30 on Wednesday. By the way, I should also mention, if you have not joined the Telegram channels and you're going to join them for the very first time, you have, when you join, there is going to be a bot that says, prove you're a human. You have to click on it. If you don't click on it, you can't post or anything like that. It happens almost every day when someone joins and then they, hey, we can't post. You have to respond to the bot. So right now in the world, obviously we have the thing going on in Ukraine and Russia. That is escalating. It has been announced. Russia said, look, if NATO comes to my door, we're at war. And what does Blinken say? Ah, yeah, we're going to put them in NATO. And that's escalating hugely, folks. I don't want to share some of the reports I've heard because I don't know if they're true. But it's escalating. And with what Israel did in recent, I can't remember if it was this week or last week, it's a bit of a blur. I think it was last week, but when they attacked Iran's consulate in Iran, you have to understand a consulate, like an embassy, is their territory. They have, it's a little country inside of a country. And when that is attacked, it is an attack directly on Iran. Iran is going to respond. I am confident in saying that. I don't have hidden intel sources or anything like that. But if you watch what happens in the world and you watch the actions and you know how these people operate, Iran is going to respond. Netanyahu is out of control. He is absolutely out of control. And this is of concern, and we need to start praying against this stuff. I want to play for you a quick clip, actually, now. Just give me a second. I'm going out of my order that I had things lined up because it just seems right. I want to play a clip. This is from C-SPAN in 1990. It is only 1 minute long. But remember, this is from C-SPAN in 1990. And I want you to hear this. And right after you hear this clip, I'm going to give you some hopium. So hold on.
CIA or subversion, trying to foil plots against the state of Israel, political plots and others.
You tell the story about how you try to find out what they call the Mossad when they deal with public.
That is a beautiful question. The trouble is you can't pick up the phone book. There's no Langley in Israel that you can look up. CIA, in our case, the Mossad, we thought we should ask, what shall we call it in English? It's like the Hebrew words, as I said, Mossad is institute. But when they write a letter to their friends in the CIA or the British intelligence, what do they call themselves? It took a while. It was a matter of asking the prime minister's folks. The best you could do, because officially, the Mossad is under the prime minister's office. And I think he came up with the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. If it were to have initials, it would be ISIS. Just simple words like that. Interestingly enough, for kind of a British
ISIS from the Israeli prime minister. By the way, in 1990, we did not know about ISIS. That came about during the Bush years. ISIS. We need to defeat ISIS. And it's this boogeyman, but really, it's a creation of the state of Israel. Now, here's your hopium part for those of you who are watching and trusting in the plan. Remember how many times Trump has said, we defeated ISIS? Well, perhaps he didn't know? Huh. It's weird, huh? I know there's a bunch of stuff you could bring up and everything else. And you know what? There's so many people going against Trump right now. And look, is Trump a good man? I've said this before. I don't know. He's saying the things I want to hear for the most part. Does he have a spooky past? Well, how do you get into the club unless you participate in the club? How do you get inside out? Maybe God used him to infiltrate. We don't know. We don't know. But crucifying anyone who's standing up for you at this point seems ludicrous to me. What other choice do you got? Oh, just lay down and die. Why would you not be rooting for this? He wants to keep abortion at bay, give it over, you know. He's done so many things. He put money in your pockets. You're being robbed. You're being... Every penny is being taken from you. There's taxes on taxes on taxes. It's crushing your way of life. They're infiltrating the schools. He wants to reform the schools. If they teach woke crap or transgenderism, he's going to cut off funding. Oh, but he's bad. Okay, maybe he is bad. Guess what? I'm a sinner and so are you. God is in control. And I'm not saying that. You know, God's going to use him for good. I think God's going to use him to bring in the financial system that eventually enslaves us. That's what I think. Do I know for sure? No. There are events coming, folks. And, you know, no secret intel source or anything like that. But I can tell you with what these high witches are doing. I could tell you with what's going on in the world right now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say that there are going to be some bad stuff's going to happen before the end of this month. Okay? That's not a prophetic word. That's common sense. When every pundit on TV is telling you that terrorist attacks are going to happen inside the United States, when everybody is repeating it, maybe we should listen. No? Okay. Jasmine, she might have just hit it by mistake, but Jasmine has called in. So Jasmine, welcome to Right On Radio. You're all.
Thank you.
What's going on, Jasmine? What's on your mind?
Not much.
So did you call in to say anything? Are you young, Jasmine? May I ask you that question? Your voice sounds very young. Well, God bless you, Jasmine. You might have hit that by mistake, but thank you for coming on anyways. All right. So continuing on in the thought, you know, we know where the plan came from. It's from Theosophical. But you know what? God can use whatever the enemy plans for good. And here is the ultimate example. Can I prove it to you? Can I prove it to you? Because I'm passionate about this right now because there's so much division, and I'm gonna divide a little bit more here too today. So I'm not innocent in this battle. However, let's say there is a plan, you know, the Q people and everything else, and we know the root of it because we've exposed it. We know where it comes from. And it's the enemy's plan. But can God turn it around and use it for good? That's the question I put before you. And here's the ultimate. There is no better example of God doing this than the crucifixion of Christ. The Jews wanted him dead because they wanted to do things their way. They want another Messiah. I shouldn't just say the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, to be more specific, in the biblical times of the first century. And they thought they would be exalted if they got the Romans to do it. And they got the Romans to do it, even though the Romans were in power. Romans said, okay, you want them dead, no problem here. We know just how to do it, and we're going to make it bad. And the people at the time were even offered Barabbas or Jesus. Crucify him, they said. And Jesus went to the cross, and the devil thought that he had won. But when the devil thought he had won, Jesus paid for the sins of all mankind from the beginning of creation to the end of the world. My sins of the past are forgiven. My sins in the future are forgiven. And so are yours. So the devil had this great plan, and man, that was the ultimate victory. We're going to kill the Son of God, and make no mistake that Satan knew that Jesus was the Son of Man. Make no mistake about it. He thought he'd won, and it was the ultimate loss. Now, I want to play you a couple things. First of all, you know, even the, you know, I hate playing the left and right thing because we know it doesn't exist, but there is a left and a right because that's how the psychological operation works. And when the left is saying that Trump is going to be a dictator and he's going to destroy all of the institutions, they're right. Because that's the plan. It is about the destruction of the United States government and all Western governments. In my opinion, Canada's fallen. Is there still hope for Canada? Yeah. And if the United States is successful in coming through this for a few years, I think the rest of the Western countries will follow suit very quickly. But you know, when Congress came in and they're, you know, there's a majority and stuff like that. Why wasn't Biden 25th Amendmented? Well, it wouldn't have passed the Senate, they say. Okay, still have the public trial, put it out there. They didn't do it. Why isn't Mayorkas impeached? Oh, well, we'll go through the Senate, you know, and we have such a slim majority. So go ahead, do it. Do it. Why aren't all these people in jail that we know have committed crimes? There has been no accountability. There's been no public perp walks. That's when they arrest someone publicly and shame them as they haul them off to jail awaiting trial. We haven't seen it. Why? Because they're all in it together. And this is something I've known about for a while that I'm going to play you, but I didn't know the extent of it. And I'm going to play this clip now. It's about 3 minutes long. I'm not going to play the end of it. It goes into some sovereign citizen stuff. But the reason I'm going to play it for you now is that it has made it onto the mainstream news. And what is the mainstream news? Well, it's InfoWars. InfoWars is the mainstream news, folks. It's mainstream alternative news, perhaps, but it's mainstream news. And this is a Greg Reese report, and I think this is very telling. I want you to listen to a couple minutes because a lot of names are named.
On January 10th of 1963, 45 current communist goals were submitted to the Congressional Record. Number 13 was do away with loyalty oaths. 60 years later, on the very same day, Biden, Obrador, and Trudeau met in Mexico City for the Declaration of North America, which states a plan to unify North America under the ideas of diversity, climate change, migration, health, and regional security. The beginnings of a North American Union, which is a step towards a one-world government. According to law, elected officials must swear an oath that they will support, defend, and bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And through the Freedom of Information Act, U.S. Attorney Todd Callender, along with his team at Project Proper Oath, found that not a single member of the existing cabinet has a valid oath of office. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has no oath of office and has also failed to register as a foreign agent, which is required due to serving on the boards and conducting international business with Raytheon, Nucor, and Tenet Healthcare. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg has no oath of office. U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Xavier Becerra, responsible for declaring a national emergency during COVID, has no oath of office. Former director of the Centers for Disease Control, Rochelle Walensky, had no oath of office. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith, responsible for investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack, has no oath of office. U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, Matthew Graves, chief prosecutor of Jan Sixers, has no oath of office. Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, has no oath of office. Within 30 days of appointment to public office, all public officials are legally required to have a signed and notarized copy of their oath of office. And it appears as if no elected officials in the federal government have one. They are either non-existent, incomplete, or fraudulent. The fraudulent ones are missing signatures, are not notarized, and in most of them, the words, "So help me God," are in all caps. In the U.S. Constitution, "So help me God" is not in all caps. And this matters, as many have been telling us for decades, including the great Jordan Maxwell.
All right, then it gets into all caps names. You don't need to hear that. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. If not, well, I'm not going to get into it today with you. So you're being played. No oath of office. Now, as a Christian, we should not be taking oaths, okay? But it's also the law of the land, so there's mixed opinions on that. Why aren't these people being exposed by your representatives that are supposedly looking out for you? You know, when you see guys like Matt Gaetz and stuff like that, oh, they're rebel rousers. They're actors, folks. They're all actors. I'm trying to cut through and give you the truth because you have to look beyond all the garbage that's out there. And there is a lot of garbage. And by the way, don't miss the ending of this show if you're hanging on, because what I'm going to read to you is so spectacular, in my opinion. Yeah, he's another. The Jordan Maxwell is a theosophist. Well said, SSG. Well said. Hey, keep the likes and stuff coming if you don't mind. I'm really trying to get us into the top 10, and I hope the information on this show is valuable. I believe that some of the stuff that comes out on this show is more valuable than a lot of the stuff that you hear that's out there. And let me give you an example of some stuff that is out there. This ties into what I said earlier. So many of you will remember a man named, goes by the name of Gene Decode. And, you know, back in 2020 and 2021, he was making a name for himself following all the earthquakes and saying, "This, see, the dumbs, the deep underground military bases are being flooded and destroyed. White hats in control. It's all taken care of." Well, it's 2024. He's one of these guys that have been pushing the goalposts. God bless you, SSG. And cheers to you on a Friday. And I love right back at you, Wendy. And Rusty Pipes, thank you so much. That is how I maintain my figure. But Gene Decode is just one example. Just one example. And when this was shared with me, I just want to say, so this is about 2 weeks ago on the David Nino Rodriguez show. And, you know, I'm not going to defend David because I think he is right into the new age, you know. Well, by his own testimony of going to this camp and taking the ayahuasca and stuff like that, you know, that's kind of where he had his awakening, he says. So, but I don't want to come against David so much because, you know, a lot of people are, but I've talked with him. He's been genuine with me. He's been good. You know, if someone is misguided because they don't study the Bible, then they're misguided. If anyone doesn't study the Bible, if Christians don't study the Bible, you are misguided. In fact, Cackle Smack gave a great example this week of a friend who was suffering from fear, and she just gave, when she can't get her friends to open up the Bible, although they're self-professing Christians, the short of the story is she gave one scripture, and with reading one simple verse, this friend's fear was completely eradicated. So we know the truth. We have to be in the Bible. But this is the type of crap that is out there still, and it's going to get more and more and more. And yes, I'm exposing, well, he's exposing himself by his own words, but this is Gene Decode. The clip is about 1.5 minutes, and I want you to hear the depths of what is happening here in this clip. And also, just, I want you to frame it in your mind, okay? Because we get called a lot of names for discussing and trying to sort out the truth here. We get called conspiracy theorists. We get called we're nuts and stuff like that. And you know what? When you hear stuff like this, it has merit when we're called that stuff. Can you imagine taking this clip and playing it to your next door neighbor who knows nothing about it, who still, you know, is a liberal or whatever it is that's out there? Just imagine playing this clip to anyone that you know.
Pretty shady stinks as well.
You're telling me that this eclipse is actually the ending of the cabal. That's what it's going to mark.
It's going to do that because part of what the moon, which is part of the soul trap system, the soul trap itself of capturing souls and sending them to the ranks of Saturn to be sent into holographic cities like Jobalon inside Saturn, tortured there and then recycled back here. That part's down. However, the part that's locking humanity into 3D, into third density, is still operational. It's being held humans down from their ascension for quite, like we talked about, this is a war for ascension on the previous interview. That's exactly what this time frame is. The sun will surround the moon, and it'll lock out those suppression waves, holding humanity to 3D. It's a time where humans get ascension someplace.
So this kind of goes on, this kind of goes with Edgar Cayce, the Sleeping Prophet, where he said, that the solar eclipse are when new souls come in, lunar eclipses are when our souls, or souls on Earth, exit. Does that make sense to you?
Well, our souls on Earth will now have the ability, because the sun will surround it. The energy from the sun is clean from God. And so that energy from the light of the whole Earth, all the suns are interconnected from the central sun, Chakra, the center of the universe. This is the throne of God, literally, where the singularity that ties all the singularities of.
Can you imagine playing that clip to someone? And by the way, if Gene was right, and he never has been in the past, you'll never hear from him again, because guess what? Gene Decode has completed his ascension. He's now in the 5D world. He's escaped the soul trap. How many of these people started out as good Christian boys and then the switch was flipped? The question is, who flips the switch? I want you to think of that. Who is flipping the switch? I've got my theories. And it probably comes down to the same people who orchestrated what happened in 2014 in Ukraine. You know, money is a very powerful tool of the enemy. Money is so powerful. You know what? And some people who are even still professing today, but they're compromising. It's what they're not saying. Because they don't want to ruin their little gravy train. You either believe the Lord supplies your needs or not. Hey, I got one more clip I'm going to play for you. And then I want to read to you this thing that just blew me away this morning. But I thought this was worth discussion. I'm going to play... I'm having trouble with this. You gotta open it up again. A clip, it's 1 minute long, from Tucker Carlson. And this is different. Now, maybe I'm gonna do two more things. Is it okay if we go just a little bit longer than I normally do? Tucker Carlson was recently on a podcast. And whatever you think about him, and many people think, you know, hey, listen, he's got to be triple agency, because you don't get that big unless you are. And I agree with that statement. But just like what I said about Trump, and just what I said about Jesus going to the cross, perhaps God can start to steer people in the way that God wants. And you know what? I'm going to say something that may be controversial, because, you know, guys like Juan O'Savin and all these people, remember the very beginning of all this stuff 4 years ago, they're saying, you know, 70 or 80% of the people have to be awake before the plan can happen and stuff like that. Kimberly Kay, God bless you. Thank you so much. You know what? And I know how New Age that is. But you know what? New Age has to contain some truth. And I believe that there is some truth in that, because the public could not handle all at once everything that it's taken us years to learn. They couldn't handle it. To know what these people do in the dark, in their satanic rituals and stuff like that, and the powerful people who they've trusted are doing this, it would be very hard for people to accept it. But we've come a long way, and I'll tell you, it's time to show the tapes, folks. It's time to perp walk all these guys and get them the hell out of there. So that's on the negative side. Now I'm going to go more to the positive. This clip is 1 minute and 12 seconds, and you'll hear the question about life advice. And it comes from Tucker Carlson, and I just want to get your opinion on this. It's really down the middle of the line. He's not professing Christ or anything like that. I get it. But listen to what he says.
Last piece of advice for young people, get married.
Yeah, get married and have a ton of kids. I mean, get married when you're too young, have more kids than you can afford, take a job you're not qualified for, live boldly, stop getting high, stop doing anything that blurs your vision or makes time go faster. You're going to die before you know it. Don't waste a second. That's the sin, is living thoughtlessly and wasting time. It's the one thing you can't get back. I've wasted a lot of money in my life. Oh my gosh. I don't care. I don't regret any of it. Every room service meal was worth it. It was fine. But any time that I wasted is really bitter for me because it's finite. And so live as fully as you can. And you can't control all this stuff that's going on. You can't control what Google does. And honestly, they're going to win. Like, the powers that be will win, at least in the short term. Ultimately, they'll all blow up. But, like, we're powerless and hated. I think this myself. Are they going to crush me? Oh, yeah. Okay. But in the meantime, you know, I want to experience my life as fully as I possibly can. And I think that starts with having, like, a ton of kids. Like, way more than a so, like, Mormon levels. I mean,
last piece of advice for young people, get married.
Well, I thought that was quite good and quite telling. So the piece I'm going to read to you, I'm not going to do the other part because it's, I want to go in a positive note now. And that was a positive note. So I'm not going to get into the other thing. But this comes from Donnie Darkened, and Donnie Darkened on X. He's a God-fearing man, and I agree with a lot of the stuff he says. And sometimes he puts out some posts. I think he really takes his time about, I'm sure he prays as he writes these. And this one really inspired me today. And it was just so well written. I want to share it with you. God has given us the gift of free will, yet he is also sovereign by his omniscience and unique ability to guide all things towards his overarching plan. Humanity has misused our free will to perpetuate the evil and rebellion against God since the beginning. Despite this, God remains sovereign, allowing temporary evil while ensuring his ultimate plan for redemption and restoration prevails. For example, the crucifixion of Jesus was a grievous act of evil and a testament to how depraved humanity can be when given to our own agency. Yet they were used by God to accomplish his purpose of giving humanity an opportunity to be reconciled and have eternal life. Although God does not ordain sin, he can transform even the darkest deeds into redemption by his omniscience. Ultimately, God will hold everyone accountable, and it is up to each and every one of us to choose whether to follow the narrow path of life or the wide path of destruction. Our responses to life's tribulations reveal our true standing with God, for those who walk in the flesh are not of the Spirit, but those who walk in the Spirit put to death the things of the flesh. And that is what is unfolding before our very eyes right now. All of the exposure of the New World Order and the Talmudic agendas is stirring a spirit of resentment, pride, and the rejection of Christ's commands to love our neighbors as ourselves, even our enemies. Jesus says in Matthew 24:12, that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. We're witnessing the hearts of humanity growing colder, and many who profess Christ with their lips will be revealed as hypocrites, just as the Pharisees did. Brothers and sisters, the real spiritual agenda is about steering you off the path of simple devotion to God. Satan doesn't need to MK Ultra you or turn you into a brainless zombies to achieve his ultimate goal of leading you to hell. All he needs to do is appeal to your flesh. And he is stirring the same spirit of rebellion and pride that caused even angels to fall. Don't let your fallen nature lead you to your destruction. Overcome the tribulations of the world as Jesus showed us. We can't think about the what ifs and the constant fear about what will happen to us in this world. Jesus wept in the Garden of Gethsemane and even asked if this cup could pass over him. Yet he acknowledged the task he had from the Father and said, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22, verse 42. And just like Job overcame his tribulation by acknowledging God's sovereignty and submitting to his will, saying, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." Job 1:21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. And what is the will of our Father? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, our sanctification. Loving our neighbors, even those who persecute us. Matthew 5, verse 44. Serving others, as said in Galatians 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through the love, serve one another, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians 5:22-23 says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, forgiving one another, as Ephesians 4:32 says. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, having compassion and kindness, as Colossians 3, verse 12 says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Jesus says in John 14, verses 12 to 24, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Brothers and sisters, our responses to our circumstances is God distinguishing between the wheat and the chaff, those who've listened and learned, and those who did not. So don't allow yourself to be swept away by the world's fears, anxieties, and uncertainties. Do the will of Jesus Christ, our King, if you truly love and follow him. Do not allow yourself to be counted among the hypocrites on the great and terrible day of the Lord, lest we too receive their appointed wrath. Walk faithfully in obedience to the Spirit, not perfectly, but faithfully. If you stumble, get back up and keep pushing forward. Be in daily repentance. Be in constant prayer. Lay down your desires. Crucify your flesh and follow Jesus. Those who get caught up in the world will share the world's fate. Focus on our purpose and calling. Don't let this world distract you. Our Father's kingdom is not of this world, and there is nothing this world can offer that can even compare to the glory Jesus has prepared for those who remain faithful until the end. Go and be the lights in darkness and of this world, like Christ told us to do. excuse me, not by following our fleshly instincts or conquest, but by transforming individual hearts through our conduct, just like the early church did, and even Jesus himself. Pray on this, brothers and sisters. God bless each and every one of you. Wow. And you know what? Can I just go back? When I read the verse of the day, and he was saying to them, if anyone must come after me, he must about deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it. Hey, would you join us in prayer on Saturday? Get up and stand up. Get into the fight. It is a spiritual battle, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Misty, I see you just came in, and I'm gonna say it before you do, Misty. You're gonna have to go back and listen to the beginning, because this is the end. This is the end. I should almost play that song. It's probably a good one to add into the repertoire. Hey, thanks everyone for being here. Remember, I have the Bible study on Sunday. We start a new chapter. This is gonna be fantastic. And you know what? Invite your friends. Mary, God bless you. Thank you so much. And yeah, oh, God bless you, sincerely. You know, in the early days of the church, which is our example, by the way, on how we're supposed to do church, they would have home church. And, you know, maybe you don't consider yourself a leader. You don't want to take on a role or whatever. No one's asking you to. In fact, I hold no titles. I'm a podcaster, folks. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. I'm not a prophet. You know, do I have some of the gifts of what they call the fivefold ministry? Yes, I do. But I'm just a guy who wanted to find the truth, and I found it in the Bible, and I found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why not invite a friend or neighbor over? You know, who already knows Jesus in particular, who isn't going to church, invite them over to your house and participate in the Bible study. Why not? I like to think that one of my gifts is, at least sometimes I make the Bible studies fun. Perhaps you get some good insight into the Word because I'm careful with it. Might not get everything right, but I'm careful with it. I read and teach the Word of God with fear and trembling. So it's a safe place, and the doctrine is good. Invite them over. Start doing your little home church, just like the disciples did in the first century. That is our guide and our example to follow. In the meantime, remember to love your God, love your family. And by the way, your family is your spiritual family, just like we learned in the last chapter. And Jesus says, well, who is my mother and who is my brothers? That are those who follow what my Father has said. It's your brothers and sisters in Christ. So love your family, love your neighbor as yourself. And I go out into your community and cry holy.
We've come this far by light of day, through deserts of loneliness to the sacred place. Well, you know my life and all I've been through. The sin in my heart has kept me from you. But Father, your grace is greater than sin. Your mercy reigns down and heals me again.
All I can do is fall down on my knees and cry,
holy,
holy, holy. All I can do is fall down on my knees and cry,
and cry, holy,
holy, holy.
In my darkest night, I cry.
your shining light. And Father, your grace is greater than sin. Shines down on me, it heals me again.
Right on radio.
Right on radio.